This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor. Jeff Bliss is Pacific Watch, and we're going to a museum with Jeff that I discovered for the first time, thanks to him. It's called the Peterson Automotive Museum. Jeff, a very good evening to you. Where is it, and what is it? It looks like it's got a Batmobile.
Good evening, John. It does have a Batmobile, one of a good number of vehicles that would be instantly recognizable and remembered as something you've seen in TV or movies or even big-time races, but it's quite fantastic. The Peterson Automotive Museum is located along Museum Row, so it's near the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences Museum. It's pretty close to La Brea Tar Pits and some other museums. And it's what they call the Miracle Mile neighborhood of L.A. And so there used to be a series of large department stores there that, you know, times had changed. They changed hands. The Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, I believe, took over the old May Company shopping building and transformed that. And Peterson took over this building, which belonged to an old chain out here in the West called Orbax. And they changed that and added a fantastic exterior that really is unique among any. I've never seen it on any building in the world. And it really kind of speaks to L.A. and the car culture. It's an exciting place, and inside, the setup is fantastic, too. You feel like you're in an art gallery and a high-speed automotive performance shop and a movie Hall of Fame place all at once. It's really quite a collection. It was my first visit there. I'd heard a lot about it, but I would certainly suggest it to anybody coming to the L.A. area to visit. And I certainly think it ranks up there with some of the top museums in the world. I've been to a lot of them in Europe and in America and the Americas. And it's really fantastic. It's a fantastic stop.
Now, this is a car museum in the car culture of California. I'm about to turn the screw here. That is going to ban fossil fuel cars in something like 12 years. Do I have all that correct, Mr. Pacific Watch?
You do have that correct. And, you know, what we know is they're going to try to ban the sale or manufacture or both in California, certainly move the publicly owned vehicles, the state's vehicles and the city vehicles to electric. But, you know, at least there'll always be a place to come and see what we used to drive back in the good old days. But it does have a section especially devoted to Tesla right now, Wing. And there are a number of places throughout the exhibits where they talk about electric cars and alternative fuels. But the Tesla exhibit is quite good size. It also includes some of the other things that Elon Musk companies do, from the Boring Company, which puts holes and creates tunnels in the ground, to SpaceX and a lot of other things. And they had their Cybertruck and Teslas there. It was a fantastic time to see all that.
Now, Jeff, this reminds me, there's a part in the Time Machine by H.G. Wells in which our hero, the unnamed protagonist, wanders through the forest, and it gets later and later at night. He's been told not to stay out after dark because something bad will happen to him. And he finds his path at the end, a museum, and he wanders in, and it's a museum of the 20th century and the 21st century. And he wanders around looking at exhibits about automobiles and tanks and bombers, things that haven't ever in existence, and it's overrun. Everybody's forgotten about it. It's abandoned. That's what this museum reminds me of. That someday there will be a time traveler who says, "Look at this! They had cars with rubber tires, and they could crash. And they didn't have brains. They were stupid. They were dumb cars." That's what your museum immediately reminded me of, Jeff.
You know, you're probably not far off, because as you walk through the museum, you see cars that go back actually all the way to, I think there was one or two horse and buggy, conveyances that were there, just to kind of give you an idea where it all came from. And, you work your way up through the ones that are steam powered and hand cranked and all of the different concept cars that came along through the ages. There's a Tucker in there, if you remember that film. You have Edsels, you have vehicles that were designed to, you know, crawl across the lunar surfaces. And then you have ones that are very futuristic and are just concept cars that only will exist on paper or in some model form. But the vast majority of it is not just a look at our history, but it's a tribute to what could be done to create, you know, innovate, you know, in a century's time, create a massive highway transportation freight trading system, and finding ways to make it better and faster and more efficient, and at times probably more deadly. But it is kind of like you say, I'm sure it's going to be someday look back at, wow, that's, you mean they actually drove around like that?
And we go to something to celebrate right now. Jeff has made me a fan of the Sphere. It's this charming construction costing several billion dollars in Las Vegas. Now, Jeff, I've never had an affection for Las Vegas because I've only ever been there once. So your affection guides me. You told me that this was under construction, and at first I was, what do we need this for? Now I'm quite taken by it. It's an enormous sphere with LEDs, looks like tens of thousands of them, and it can turn into anything it wants. But Jeff was investigating prices because it can also advertise. What do we know, Jeff?
The sphere, which costs $2.3 billion, is, as you can imagine, with all of the, inside it is a massive, pretend you're sitting inside a baseball or golf ball, and you're just immersed in this situation. So the entire screen, projection screen, you're enveloped by it. And so it's great for really big action movies or, you know, like wildlife movies. And U2 has got a residency there, and they've always been big on visuals. And all the reports from being inside that are it's beyond spectacular. It's overwhelming. But on the outside, somebody got the idea of thinking, well, this is Las Vegas, and there's a lot of real estate on this building that we created that is as tall as the towering resort casinos around it. Why don't we do something with it? Why don't we make it into an art piece? So they, on these tens, if not hundreds of thousands of LED-type lights are on the outside, they're all programmed, and they can change color, so it makes the sphere looks like it changed shapes or turns into different objects. So you'll have a snow globe, or you'll have a happy face. It has kind of a trademark happy face that follows people around, or planes up in the sky. They've done a great pumpkin on there now for Halloween, and really, it's whatever the imagination holds is what they can project on there. But it ain't cheap. So what you're talking about is, if you want to put an image on there, whether it's your face or your company's logo or anything like that, it's going to cost you a cool $450,000 a day. But as the salesman says, if you work with me, I can get you for an entire week for $650,000. And when you think about it, actually, because Vegas has so many high-profile sports like Formula One that's coming, or Super Bowl, or so many conventions and conferences, that might pay off. I mean, I'm thinking, what if a, you know, a dental convention comes in and some toothpaste company projects smiles and toothpaste ads on there? It might be worth it. Certainly, they'd write it off. I will tell you that it costs them about half a billion, is it half a billion dollars a year to, half a million dollars a year to operate electricity wise. And they're having to build a power plant, solar plant for it in Northern Nevada. But so far, so good. They really enjoy having Sphere in Vegas, both visitors and locals.
And this is Vegas with sports teams now, lots of sports teams, a hockey team, a football team. Does it have a baseball team yet?
It's going to get the Oakland A's. And so you're right. I mean, they've got the Golden Knights, which won the Stanley Cup last year, which was a big deal. They've got the former Oakland Raiders playing Allegiant Stadium, which is I've been in that stadium for concerts. It's gorgeous. The WNBA Aces, who have won for 2 years in a row now the championship in the WNBA, they're getting baseball, and it looks like they're going to get an NBA franchise, which will be a huge game changer. So they'll have all the major sports there. Plus, they get other championships. They have Formula One racing coming next month, very soon. And they're talking about bringing other sports there. And they have UNLV, University of Nevada, Las Vegas, playing college sports there. It really is becoming the sports capital of the United States, if not the world.
Yes, I could see the Sphere becoming number one fan, you know, cheering along, featuring the game scores, even showing, it could show a picture of the game, right? It could go live to the game.
You sure could. Anything you can put on a video image, a computer generated or televised, you can put on that Sphere. And I hadn't even thought about that. That's a great way to use it. I mean, in a town that was so crazy, so nuts about the Golden Knights winning the Stanley Cup last year, and of course, being sold out every night, I'm sure that would have been a huge attraction to have that playing overlooking the Strip, probably would have had hundreds of thousands of people watching the game there.
And you told me initially that other people are now looking at their own spheres. So there's a sphere gap. Is that what's happened?
That's right. You know, it's interesting. A few decades ago, they built these high-rise Ferris wheels in places like London, where they have the Eye, and Vegas has its own version. I think it's called the Link. And there are other cities that have now installed these giant Ferris wheels. I've ridden the one in London, the Eye, and the one in Paris as well. But now that they see the sphere and they see the potential for it, it could be such a moneymaker. Cities, I believe, like Orlando and Los Angeles and even San Francisco have been thinking, oh, maybe this will be a great idea for us. I don't think this will be the last of these we see here in the U.S.
I don't know about San Francisco, Jeff. They've got other problems. I really don't. But other cities, it's so cool to I look forward to the day that I actually visit Las Vegas again and can look up and remember the beginning days of the sphere. If you haven't seen it yet, it's easy. Just type in Sphere Las Vegas and this enormous, what is that, a cat? What is that? It's just a happy face.
Yeah. And my favorite one, I think, is it borders a nearby golf course. And so as golfers hit down the fairway toward the hole, sometimes the face will track the ball through the air like it's watching you, like another spectator. And when the ball goes wide, it kind of gives the golfer a look like, wow, that wasn't very good, was it? So it's one thing to be there with the sphere. It's another thing to have it cast aspersions at you.
Jeff Bliss is Pacific Watch. I'm John Batchelor.